Our lesson today comes from James chapter 3, verses 13 through chapter 4, verse 10. Hear God's word. Do you want to be counted wise? To build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live and not the way you talk that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you're wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart. And everyone ends up at the other's throats. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It's gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and with honor. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that He's a fiercely jealous lover, and what He gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work His will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God, and He'll be there for you in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Let's take a moment of silent prayer. Amen. If somebody were to ask you for your top 10 list of things you want most, would wisdom show up anywhere there? I think most of us kind of take wisdom for granted. We're focused on other things. Wisdom is just kind of out there in the background. We don't think about it a lot. And we continue to do really dumb things. All of us. Now, it may not be quite as bad as that Darwin Awards list. Have any of you heard about the Darwin Awards? Now, the Darwin Awards, if you know anything about Darwin, it has a lot in there about natural selection, about how we've evolved over time, and that the best qualities and best features are the things that continue to improve and grow. And then some of the less great features are things that are sort of eliminated with time. And the Darwin Awards salute what they describe as the improvement of the human genome by honoring those who accidentally remove themselves from it. In other words, these are awards given to people who have done really stupid things to the point that it's ended their lives. And so they are seen as having removed themselves from that process of natural selection. And I thought you might like to hear just a couple examples this morning. At the very least, it will make you feel better. I know it made me feel better about my own dumb choices by comparison. One of the most striking for me was an award given in 1990 for a gentleman who, he made his first effort as a robber. And he had no previous record of violence. He had no record of having really done anything wrong. But for some reason, he was motivated to rob not only a store, but a gun shop. That was dumb thing number one. Dumb thing number two was he robbed it at a time that the shop was full of customers. Okay, firearm customers, people with guns, buying ammunition. Dumb thing number two. Dumb thing number three. In order to enter the shop, he had to stop and sort of go around a marked police car that was parked right at the front door. That's kind of dumb. But it gets dumber. The policeman who owned the police car was at the counter having a cup of coffee with the owner of the gun store. So he walks into this full store, if you can imagine this, the gun shop, guns, ammunition everywhere, with the owner, with the policeman, with people, with guns, and he says, "This is a holdup," and he starts firing shots in the air. And they, of course, immediately use the tools at their disposal, and one more has been removed from the human genome. That was sort of the end of his story. And then, I mean, this is not the only story with guns. The gun stories show up quite a bit in these awards. There was a gentleman in 1992 in North Carolina, 47 years old, accidentally shot himself to death in December while waking to the sound of a ringing telephone beside his bed. He reached for his gun instead of the phone, pulled the trigger, and he was done. He was done. He was done. Oh, and now here's another one that just defies even, it's very creative. A lot of these people were extremely creative in their dumbness. Kalita was traveling at a highway speed in her Chevy, and she was just cruising down a country road, the wind was blowing in her hair, and she and her passenger decided that they would swap places, and that he would drive and she would be the passenger. But she wasn't just going to, you know, stop the car and do the traditional Chinese fire drill switch that we're all familiar with. No. She had something more creative in mind because, you know, she had one of those T-tops that roll back. So she made the decision. What she was going to do is she was going to climb up and sort of over him. Did not go well. She ended up flying off the car, also going at that point at about the speed of the car, but in the opposite direction. And that was sort of the end of her story. On the way down, they say that her foot kind of hit the steering wheel and it caused the car to sort of veer left. But amazingly, the passenger, who was still inside the vehicle, was able to grab the wheel and he was able to avert his own death. So you can learn from mistakes of others. However, the story still didn't end because the passenger, he was then arrested and charged with driving on a suspended license with improper registration and no insurance. Can you imagine? I mean, his driver leaves and he's trying to save his own life, but then he gets arrested. So clearly he wasn't the only dumb one in this. I could go on. Are you all feeling better about your own errors? Yes. But truth be told, we are all sort of lacking in a certain wisdom. And the starting place in having wisdom is being aware that there is such a thing and actually wanting it. The other starting place is recognizing that there's the wisdom of the world, and then there's the wisdom of God. And they are two really, really different things. Any of you guys ever watch the Shark Tank? It's a good show, isn't it? It's very interesting. They have this group of five people, for those who haven't watched it, a group of five savvy business people, very, very wealthy. And then people come on the show with ideas for businesses, and they try to pitch their ideas in the hopes of getting some money and support and wisdom from these five really wealthy, and in worldly standards would probably be considered wise. And yet, not so much, really. Yes, there are things that they mention that make good business sense. I am always amused by the guy in the center who talks about how money is the only thing that counts. But it gives you a window into this world where money and stuff and success is the only thing that matters. And wisdom measured by your success in worldly things. Let me ask you something. Do you think God really gives a you-know-what about wealth? Do you think that by God's standards he would consider those five people wise? I'm thinking probably not. I'm thinking probably not. So what is wisdom by God's standards? In many ways, it's the opposite. When we look at this passage, it asks us, do you want to be counted wise, to hold and build reputation for wisdom? It says, live well. And by live well, it doesn't mean live wealthy. Living well means being who you were created to be, means being the person God called you to be. It means living with what you have and rejoicing in all that you have, wherever you find yourself, knowing and trusting. He says, live wisely, making good choices, looking for God's wisdom, God's guidance, God's direction as you make your choices. He says, live humbly. That's also very, very key in all this. You see, most of the wisdom of the world focuses on me. It's all about me. Me looking good, me being successful, me showing how great I am. You guys, not so much. It's about me. But God's way is exactly the opposite. In God's way, it can actually be good to be invisible. If you are the person behind the scenes that's helping others to do what they're supposed to be doing, being who they're called to be, that's wisdom, that's success in God's eyes. In God's eyes, wisdom is thinking in terms of not just your own needs, but all of our needs. And how we can work together, how we can be together as a team, as a group, working and loving each other, caring for each other, looking for ways to reconcile differences, looking for solutions where everyone benefits. I'm sure that as we were reading this passage this morning, that you couldn't help but think again about the conflict that our country is in on so many levels. In politics, in every area, it's a mess. Do you think that any of them out there would measure up to these standards that God is giving us? Do you think that they're living by the world's standards, or do you think they're living by God's standards? And if you have any doubt about which is smarter, to live by the world's standards and world's wisdom or by God's wisdom, all you have to do is look at the results they're getting. The fighting that's going on, the division that's going on, the wars going on, that is the result, that is the fruit of the world's wisdom. That's what you get. We're told Satan wants us to believe that that's the smart way. Does it look so smart to anyone? I don't think so. And yet we're told the dumb way is to be generous. The dumb way is to be thinking of others and not just yourself first. The dumb way is all these things that God calls us to. But you know what? That's the only way. That's the only real wisdom. And until we get it, we're going to be thrown to our knees as many times as it takes. This passage closes with this whole idea. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, God was willing to wait. He's willing to say, Joycey, as many times as it takes for you to get it. But it took me to get down on my knees before I could finally get back on my feet. Really on my feet. So you and I, we've got a choice. God never takes those choices away from us. Not choices like the politicians give us, the fake choices. God gives us real choices. And we can choose the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of God. We can put wisdom at the bottom of our list, or we can understand that it may be one of the most important things that we can ever claim. But we have a choice. What will it be? Let us pray. Almighty God, a lot of times we like the idea of wisdom, but it's pretty hard to put in practice, especially on our own. And so we pray, Lord, we pray that you would help us to want to desire wisdom. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see and understand true wisdom. And we pray, Lord, that you would guide us in growing in that wisdom. In your name we pray. Amen.